has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Light it up.
Welcome to Unmistakably Star Wars, your source for a high-quality, informative, and entertaining look into the Star Wars galaxy. So strap yourself in, because here's where the fun begins.
Jeremy, I just want to go on the record right now and say the post-Star Wars Celebration experience from this year, far and away better than my post-Star Wars Celebration experience from Anaheim in 2015.
Wow.
Yes.
You're coming out guns blazing.
Well, I'm telling you, of course, those of you that don't know, coming home, Star Wars Celebration 2015.
I forgot. Yeah.
I got incredible food poisoning and started throwing up for days on end. So, thus far, everything has stayed down. Yes. Although, I must confess, though, that was an incredible weight loss program at the time.
It was.
But we are almost, what, 4, 5, 6 days removed from Star Wars Celebration 2019 in Chicago. And as far as I know, not a single member of the USW team has any con crud. This is amazing.
It's Christmas Day miracle.
It is. It truly is. I've seen some of the other folks on the Twitter post about the con crud that they've received, and it just must be something about the USW team. We're immune to con crud, which is exciting. What more could one hope for? Well, listen, my little tauntauns, as we start, this is going to be part one of, who knows, 300-part continuing series on breaking down Star Wars Celebration. There is no possible way we can take 5 days of pandemonium and put it into a succinct little podcast for you. So we'll do our best on this particular series to look at a very macro view of some of the highlights. We'll get into part two probably in the next podcast and talk about some of the questions we're left with. And who knows what happens after that. But before we get there, allow me to welcome into the USW studio the one and only Barb the Canadian.
That's me. Hey, everybody.
Barb, give me in one word your response to when I say Star Wars Celebration Chicago, you say?
One word.
Okay. that was actually two. But that's two. That's
amazing.
Okay. To my left. the only member that I'm aware of on the USW team that is not only the original big deal, but also the only member of the USW team that has three first names, that is Mr. Jeremy Brett Scott.
Oh, wow. Knows all three. That's good.
Well, yeah. I'm here for you, buddy. I'm here for you.
Thanks.
Hey, also joining us, listen, I cannot wait for her to retell the tale of her experience at the Star Wars show stage in the exhibition hall. The one and only Regina Sanders.
Hi, everyone.
And as always, my cohort on the East Coast from the city of brotherly love. She is the salty filly talking about Eve.
Hello, everybody.
So listen, gang, again, there are so many things that we could talk about, so many ways to break this down. There is also a rumor that every other podcast and YouTube Star Wars show out there has broken down the trailer in about 387 different ways. So we'll avoid that this time around to spare our listeners a little bit. But let's talk from personal highlights. That's what I want us to focus on this time. I want us to actually take our top three personal highlights and break them down, share with our listeners some insight that we personally had in our experiences at Star Wars Celebration. So with that, let's jump right in.
Number three.
All right, Jeremy, you had kind of a disclaimer as we were talking off air about how we formulate these into our personal top three picks, and as we count them down to our top choices, you have a disclaimer that you would like our listeners to be aware of.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying one of the most special things, and for those listeners out there that didn't get to go to Celebration, you know, it's something to try to get to in the future.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the interactions with other fans. It's really reinvigorating. It's, you know, to see other people with that passion that you have. Sometimes you feel isolated. I know there's people listening to the show that, like, they might not have many friends that are as passionate about Star Wars as
right.
people that go to Celebration are.
Right.
And it, mm-hmm. I think that's one of the special things. So I think for all of us, that's a highlight. Mm. And so as I was approaching this list, it kind of goes without saying that like personal interactions was up there, one of the highlights. And I would include our work on the podcast stage as
yeah.
part of that highlight, just yeah. interacting with people who listen to the show and new mm-hmm. people listening to the show. It was really special. So that's out there. That's yeah. that's a highlight. but my list is mainly on content that was being released to me. Like, here's this new show. Here's this new bit of information.
Right,
here's
right.
this experience from Celebration itself, not the people there.
I think that's a great way to look at it, because certainly that is one of the things that makes Celebration so special, right? Where we're running across people that we have known only through social media, or that we're meeting for the first time and haven't known them previously on social media. And there's just this deep connection
really
that happens. Yeah. So obviously we'll put that as kind of its asterisk beside that. I don't know if any of you had this, Barb. Did you have this experience? When I was meeting some people and they would introduce themselves as whatever their name was and be like, can you tell me your Twitter handle?
Yeah.
That's how I know you.
Yeah, I had that a couple of times. And as soon as they said their Twitter handle, I'm like,
So yeah. good to meet you. That was so exciting. And actually, the podcasts that were part of the pod stage actually had a get together. What was it, Saturday night?
Yes.
That was pretty cool. So it was just, I mean, it was a wretched hive of scum and villainy in the bar of the hotel. But nonetheless, it was memorable for those of us that didn't drink. With that being said, Eve, let me begin with you. Give us your number three highlight from Star Wars Celebration Chicago.
Okay, so I unfortunately did not win, well, any lottery, but Galaxy's Edge panel. I knew that I, like, even just walking around that, you know, part of the exhibit floor, which I never waited in line because I'm that kind of person, but it just looked amazing. Mm. Even that little, like, hop in the booth and tell us your Star Wars story. It was just so immersive and wonderful. And I knew as soon as I got home, I was like, I'm watching this panel. And I finally sat down and watched, I think it was almost an hour and a half last night, and it just blew me away. There were several moments where I was like, no, really? For real? Like, I'm not actually I'm going to come out of Galaxy's Edge as a different human being, I think, because it just feels like the way that Scott Trowbridge and Doug Chang and all of the people that have spent 4 to 5 years creating this world, it was, it's such a passion project and it related to every part of, like, every Star Wars bone in my body was just alight with joy. So definitely that.
I'm curious, Eve, from your perspective, what in your opinion was the difference of, like, seeing that in isolation over, like, a recorded video versus actually, like, do you think that you actually gained something more by watching it in that, by not being part of the hoopla and the enthusiasm of the actual live audience?
I think I was able to pay attention to every detail more than I would have otherwise. But if I had to pick, I would have preferred to have been there, just given what being in the overflow for episode 9 did. And that sense of just overwhelming community, and we're in this together, and we are all so excited about it. It was just,
It's crazy when I look back at some of the interviews about Galaxy's Edge. And Jeremy, you and I have talked about this off air on a number of occasions. Like, can you imagine, like, it's a blank canvas.
Yeah.
And your budget is, well, more well than you can imagine, in the words of Luke Skywalker. What an incredible opportunity that we're going to have once we inevitably someday, 30 years from now, actually get to go to Galaxy's Edge and experience that for ourselves. Regina, how about you? As far as your personal highlights, what would you list as your number three highlight?
So mine would be watching the teaser trailer for episode 9. So that Friday, I actually went to work that morning, and I drove into Chicago that afternoon, that evening. So the first time that I saw it, I actually brought my iPad into my cubicle, and I straight up told all my coworkers, I was like, please do not bother me. Please do not come for me for anything. Like, this is my break. And I watched the panel and the teaser on my iPad. And then I had to sit there and try not to, like, hyperventilate and cry as people, like, passed by in the office. Like, what is she doing? So when I actually got to Chicago and I made it in, I saw the teaser projected on the big screen at the Star Wars show live stage. And so I got to freak out and cry in the midst of other Star Wars fans. And I was like, okay, this is better. I can cry now. So that's definitely a highlight.
There's something beautiful about that, right? I mean, there was one young man who took on a ration of crap on social media because of his reaction. And then it was so great to actually see like Star Wars fans come to his aid and actually jump in there and have his back. Mm-hmm. Barb, for you, give me your number three highlight.
Number three was getting a Star Wars tattoo.
Ah,
yeah, it was just so surreal on so many levels because I'd been thinking about it for a while, and it's actually my first tattoo, and to have my first tattoo experience in this like adrenaline filled hype of everything that's going on in Star Wars Celebration, to have all you guys there, my friends there, and just picking something that to me was amazing. And I remember like lying on the table at one point in the middle of the tattoo going, this is really happening. Like, you know, I'm not dreaming right now. Right. Just, I haven't had any regret. There's just, I mean, for me, like, what a souvenir to bring home. Sure. And I had always said going to Celebration, I'm like, I don't want to get a tattoo at Celebration just to get a tattoo at Celebration. Right. I have to live with this for the rest of my life. And so I, by knowing that and choosing something that I really wanted, I do have to say that the experience of getting it at Celebration definitely feels way more of a highlight than just going and getting a Star Wars tattoo anywhere. You know, I can say this was my first tattoo.
Right.
I will remember the experience for the rest of my life and be able to bring up those feelings that I was having for the entire week.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And
it's great.
How did the tattoo artist respond when he knew it was your first tattoo?
He was amazing. His bedside manner was exactly what I need with my personality. He was just very sensitive and understanding and expressed the process to me. And he thought it was cool, you know, that I'm getting my first tattoo at Celebration. And there was another guy, the way the booths were, there were two tattoo artists in like each little square area.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy in the booth getting his tattoo at the same time knew it was my first one. And he was getting his arm tattooed and he's sitting there getting an R2-D2. And I had R2-D2 and BB-8 being tattooed. But he was sweet as well.
Mm.
While he's getting his tattoo, he'd look at me. He's like, how you holding up? I'm like, I'm doing pretty good. It hurts, but I'm doing pretty good. You know, I sat still. But just even that, like this guy that I don't know, and just that camaraderie that you get everywhere at Celebration of people just coming to your side and getting you and understanding your fandom and excitement for everything. It was just wonderful.
I think, you know, one of the things that you touched on there, what was so refreshing about this, and we'll certainly we can dive into this later, but given all of the drama in fandom for the past year and a half, there was zero drama that I witnessed.
I know. There. I didn't see any of it.
It was an amazingly positive experience for me from start to finish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Barb, I'm curious. One, will this become a Celebration tradition for you?
I actually did think about that because it was so fun. But because I was talking to Bex and Jason on the way back from the airport talking about tattoos. And Jason's like, oh, my gosh, you're addicted. I've got one. And Jason on the way back is counting how many he has. He's got 56 or something.
Wow.
And he's telling me I'm addicted when I have one. But I'm already thinking, because I've already had a couple other ideas in mind that are not Star Wars.
Well, Anaheim's around the corner, so you better nail it down. Let me ask this. On a scale of beasting to childbirth, where does getting a tattoo rate?
Beasting to childbirth. Getting a tattoo, it's on the low end.
Yeah.
I mean, it hurt, but I've gone through childbirth three times. And that's what I said to my artist. Yeah. He's like, it is going to hurt. I'm like, I'm not worried about that. I've had three kids. Yeah. No, it hurt more than I expected, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, way more than a bee sting. Imagine getting stung by bees for 3 hours straight.
Wow.
That's what it feels like.
Wow. Okay. That's
and
a good
I will
analogy.
Not be getting a tattoo ever.
And I'm crossing that Thanks off for the that. List. Bye-bye. Jeremy, number three on your list.
There was something that happened at the beginning of the episode 9 panel.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Star Wars, their YouTube channel has not released this yet. You can find some kind of bootlegged versions of it, but they started the panel before Stephen Colbert came out with a behind the scenes reel.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I don't know what it was about that. But it, I had a very hard time holding back tears watching that.
Yeah.
And I've since gone back and watched that lame bootlegged version like 10 times.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like the excitement around the panel, the episode 9 panel on Friday, the excitement around that, and then this video that they started it with encapsulated just sort of my feelings and my emotion so well towards Star, like my love for Star Wars was reflected in that video. And when you find stuff like that in life, that's really special.
Yeah.
And that's like, I have this little treasure that's that video that I kind of hold dear. And so what a great way. I mean, obviously we were there on Thursday, but what a great way to really kind of feel like that was when Celebration kicked off was that video. But it just communicated where we've been and where we're about to go with episode 9. I thought so well. I did enjoy the teaser trailer. It was great. But that behind the scenes video, I can't, I hope, I'm so hopeful that they'll release that because it's wonderful. And I would, it'd be something I would watch over and over again. I just think it communicates so many things so well. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
And they were able to do that. And they even showed some behind the scenes stuff from like A New Hope that I had not seen before. I've seen some of that behind the scenes stuff, but not everything. So there were some little moments scattered throughout that I was like, I haven't seen that interview.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that take, you know? Yeah. And so I enjoyed that as well, but I just loved that thing. Did you guys remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For those of you that haven't seen it. So it was just kind of this montage it had some outtakes. It had some behind the scenes stuff. It had some of the characters really through the progression of each of the films, just kind of giving you, like, here's what Star Wars... I mean, when I saw Harrison Ford talk about, like, the depth of Star Wars and what it means to people, I'm just like, that seems so not Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
But it was, like, one of the things that really, like, pushed the old sentimental button for me. Sure. It's like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Totally with you as far as the magnitude of the impact of that video. I do hope we get to see it again.
Yeah.
Listen, for number 3 for me is the Episode 9 panel.
Yeah.
You
had some good seats there, huh, Devin?
So... I have this history with the city of Chicago where if I go to something that involves a crowd and tickets and seating and stuff, I somehow tend to find myself
in the best place possible.
So I won a seat on the floor from the lottery, and the floor is it's a basketball arena. DePaul University plays their basketball games there. And the floor had, I don't know how many chairs set up, but I entered the floor section and was told by one of the workers there, oh, you can sit anywhere from this point back, which was roughly mid-court to the back of the building. I thought, okay. And then I noticed that if I would have just taken a right there and went like towards the side of the arena, to my left was the Jedi VIP seating that people, I don't know, how much are those tickets? It's like $850, $900 each. Something. And to the right was where I was supposed to sit. And I felt the darkness and the light rise inside me. The darkness won. So I managed to sit 6 rows from the stage, middle of the section. And, I mean, I think at one point I actually felt Warwick Davis spit on me. I was that close. It was amazing. I have Ewok spit. It's amazing. And just being that close, it's kind of uncanny. Like, you don't even realize. It's so surreal when it's happening that
I
am, you know, literally a stone's throw away from Daisy Ridley and John Boyega and Kathleen Kennedy. And my goodness, of course, even when you watch that on like the live stream, I would assume, because I didn't. you feel an incredible amount of energy welling up in you, but like to be there, and it's just, it's very much an outer body experience. But that's my number 3, which means
the bar is high, man.
Yeah, it has set totally high. It's higher than $850. let's continue on this list.
Number 2.
All right, Jeremy, I'm going to begin with you this time. Your number two on the list is what?
Well, there was a lot that happened on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Mandalorian panel and Alan Tudyk did his little panel that, that he had. But for me, my number two...
Because the captain said he had to.
Yes, totally. Yeah. My number two is the Clone Wars panel.
Interesting.
I find anything that Dave Filoni does to be gold.
Yeah.
And his interaction with not only the guests on stage with him, but the people in the audience. He just connects well. Obviously, he knows Star Wars well. Someone at one point said, I think it was a fan question during the panel.
Yeah.
But it might have been. I watched so much Star Wars. I can't remember when. But it was. I believe it was a fan question. Might have been the Rebels panel. Mm-hmm. But said, you know, before the question was asked by the fan, they said, you know, Dave Filoni, you are, in my opinion, the spiritual successor to George Lucas. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank you for all that you've given to Star Wars.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more with that statement. Yeah. And the Clone Wars panel was delightful. Mm. And I had great seats. I was at the celebration stage. I was with Carl. And it was just a lot of fun. We were both really excited about it. It seems like this season is going to be Ahsoka-centric. Mm. And I couldn't think of a better character to focus on. And I think we're going to get some questions answered. I think a lot of people have been wondering what exactly went down on Mandalore leading right up to episode 3. We kind of have it touched on a little bit in the Ahsoka novel. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit going on. We know that Ahsoka and Maul have a big confrontation.
Yeah.
We know Anakin leaves to go rescue Palpatine at the beginning of 3. So he's not there on Mandalore. So there's a lot of this unknown that we're going to finally get answered, but the footage shown, they showed 3 scenes. They had a trailer. The voice cast was there. It was kind of a reunion of them.
Yeah.
It was so entertaining, so delightful. Some of the best Star Wars storytelling is in Clone Wars and to think that it's been saved and they're going to finish it is just thrilling and wonderful. And I cannot wait. And that panel was delightful. So that's my number two.
That's a great pick. And Filoni, excuse me, Dave,
your buddy.
You know what's great about him? I agree with that fans' comments. I agree with your perspective. Is like he's, in my opinion, I've never watched him or listened to him do anything other than like something that is so compelling. And the guy must operate at about 60 beats a minute. Like I don't think he goes above like 68 beats a minute.
He's amazing.
He's just amazingly calm and yet whimsical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Barb, number two on your list.
Number two is the pod stage.
Ah, yes.
We as a podcast got to be have our own pod stage panel on Saturday, and that definitely a huge highlight. You know, to have our entire podcast there minus one.
Yeah.
And you know, that in and of itself was epic for me, just to be with all of you guys and that experience, and then to be on the stage, you know, sitting next to Eve and next to Carl.
Yeah.
You know, that never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so on a personal level, that was just exciting and fun, and to have, you know, have that experience with my friends from the podcast was out of this world. And then the fans, I mean, we had Neil in the front row.
Yes. In the flesh. And
can I just do a shout out for Neil? Mm. He was standing in line for the celebration store Saturday and had said he might not make it. And we were a little disappointed. And then he went and got out of line.
Yes.
Who knows how long he'd been waiting.
Yeah.
Just so he could come to our podcast.
Incredible.
So
yeah.
Shout out to you, Neil. You're amazing. It was so wonderful to see you there. And then the rest of the crowd that we had there, you know, we got to see Amy, and there was a whole list of people that I got to talk to that just, their words of support and encouragement for our podcast just meant a great deal.
Meant the world. Yeah. It was really so wonderful to see that.
They, you know, I know, I'm going to mess up people's names, but there were just a lot of people there. And then, you know, I was handing out the art prints at the end and just got to talk to some as they were leaving. And every little bit of that pod stage experience was amazing.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And for those of you that haven't been to a celebration, you don't realize how big of a deal it is to leave the Celebration Store line.
Yes.
Sincerely, because it's often hours of waiting just to get in there. Yeah,
about and then to go through the gates of heaven. And
nope, I'm not. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Somewhere else. Yeah. And then once you're in, after you figure out what merch you're going to buy, it's Jeremy, you waited at Anaheim just to get out of there.
Never like, do it again.
You actually timed it. It was like an hour and a half just to get out once you had actually stood in line for the register.
Well, it was an hour and a half to just get into the store
right.
then trying to get the it was almost a 4-hour ordeal.
Yeah.
Oof. And when I left the store, I got a stupid T-shirt and a poster. I was just like, "This is for me, so thank you."
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought to myself, and Grant, one of our early writers for USW, was with me, and he didn't get anything. He just hung out with me.
What an
awesome dude!
Yeah,
but we were
in the right mind would do that.
He's crazy. And notice he's not back. He's like, "I ain't doing that shit ever again." But like. You know, we were walking out. I'm like, I'm not ever going to do this again. And I haven't. I will not do that.
On Thursday, they were saying the wait was an 8-hour wait.
Like, yeah.
There's a late. And I'm like, I want that T-shirt.
Yeah.
And it sucks because even I went in line, I think it was Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And we got in the store. But the things that I really wanted, they
gone.
Were sold out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I didn't want to stand in line for 8 hours.
I know, it sucks
that I didn't get the Millennium Falcon T-shirt I want. I wanted some more pins, but I got a few things. But 8 hours is just crazy. Ridiculous.
Well, and here's the other part of that. Like, some of the pins, the enamel pins, were available in a vending machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys were savvy to this or not, but some of the exhibitors.
Oh, I know. I'm angry about this.
Did you see my tweet?
Yeah, they went and they purchased the pins, and then they were selling them in their booth for about 300 times their
price. It was ridiculous.
I was like, this should not be allowed. Selling past pins, fine, but ones that we're supposed to get during their Celebration and then upselling them, I was
wrong.
Like, I wanted to go get more blind packs, and the vending machine was sold out, and you're selling them here for $150.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
And so people
it is.
Them.
Yeah, I will say this, though, you know, about the pod stage, you know, and Barb's her highlight is that I was really amazed at one people came like I was amazed at that
and they didn't have to
and then but two I was blown away by how amazing everyone was on stage I was like everyone all the whole crew I was just like wow this is who I collaborate with creatively what an amazing group of people to collaborate with that was probably one of the things I left that time thinking it was just like whoa we're like this was good like it was so good to work with these people
totally
in this venue I was blown away by that
let me just go ahead and jump in because the pod stage is number two on my list and I, for all those reasons that we've talked about and more we've been doing this since I don't know early fall
October 15
2015 so we've been down the road with this thing and to see us all together, Barb, like you said, like all of a sudden for the first time in forever, sorry, fans of Frozen, that we were in one place at one time. Sans, our dear podcast member, Ashley, but to all be there. And for those of you that were either there or didn't know, like we had a lot of restrictions that Lucasfilm put on what we could do as far as time and people on stage. And so it was for the hoops that we had to jump through to get all of us up there in and out in 45 minutes and still have like a in-depth conversation that was meaningful. I think that if I can so humbly say, I think we knocked it out of the park.
And a lot of that has to do with you, buddy.
Well,
like
you
were an amazing like kind of MC, the way you like brought everyone into the conversation. That was one of the things that I took away from that. I'm like, I don't think any of us could have done what Devin just did in terms
you,
of like weaving it together, interacting with the crowd. It was so good. And a lot of that has to do with you.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And you brought up the crowd. It was so great to have the back and forth with the live audience, right?
Totally.
And just talking about like, it was interesting to see like, we did.
I thought I was going to get in trouble there at the end with Ray.
Yeah.
For those of you that didn't listen, I thought Ray would die. Not because I don't like her.
Yeah.
But that was what I think the crowd thought is that I didn't like Ray.
Yeah.
And I was in trouble.
Yeah, the emergency exits were ready to be used. But yeah, it was funny because we did like a 1 through 5, which is going back to like what we do in classrooms sometimes. Yeah, give me a 1 through 5 with your hands. And it was interesting, like the audience was split on whether they liked the title, whether they liked the trailer, where things may go. So it was cool to get that immediate feedback. But I will just say, Jeremy, thank you for your kudos, but I am, if I can be, like, so proud of our team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone was so thoughtful, and it wasn't anything that we rehearsed, but just the chemistry that we have built over the last several years together, I think is one of the things, probably the thing that makes us such a special team together, that we know each other so well, and we care for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely number two on my stage. And it was great, too. I always get nervous about naming names because inevitably I'll forget somebody. So I don't want to name names, but it was cool to see. We had a good number of our patrons there as well. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool to see our very generous patrons be there and to actually shake their hands and say thank you and to connect with them personally. So that was also part of that. Regina, jump in here. What's number two on your list?
Mine's actually the pod stage two. For all the reasons everyone said, but later I went back and I looked at my memories on social media and I realized that it just about coincided with the year anniversary of me doing Star Wars on Tap, which is also when I was asked to be a part of this. Yeah. So it just felt very, very wild that in a year's time, I became a part of this, and then I got to meet you all. So, extra emotional.
Oh, well, you knocked it out of the park on stage, girl.
Well, thank you.
And I'm going to take full credit for this. No, but like when Gina, when you and I talked a year ago, it was like literally at the end of our Star Wars on Tap conversation, I was like, you need to join us. Or more appropriately, we really need her to join us.
Yeah. Well, it was that. And then, like, you know, you said when the on tap was done, you were like, We need to figure out how to get Gina on board. Yeah. I'm like, oh, really? You know? Yeah. And then I was like, when I heard Eugenia, like, on stage, and then just like, what? Oh, she needs to do way more. Yeah.
It's going to be unmistakably Regina is what the other announcement we have at the end of this podcast. But yeah, absolutely. Eve, what about you?
So the episode 9 panel, I'm going to deviate from everyone's number 2
that's okay.
Because that's my number 1. But, episode 9 panel, just from everybody being brought out, all of the cast members talking, and then the trailer itself, I cried tears streaming down my face through that whole experience.
Mm. And what a treat it was to have Stephen Colbert.
Oh, that was such a...
I mean, despite him being Canadian, I thought it was... y'all can't see Barb's face right now. Her fingers.
He's Canadian? I didn't even know that.
Isn't he? I think he's Canadian.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Isn't he Canadian?
I'm going to find out.
I think he's Canadian.
Got a computer right here.
I think he is. Eve, from your perspective, like, what is the one thing about that panel experience, though? Was it something that one of the cast members said? Was it the trailer itself? Like, what is, like, the one thing, like, when I say episode 9 panel, that comes to mind?
It was the trailer itself, but it was sitting with almost all of our team. And, I mean, I distinctly remember Megan... like my shoulder was touching Barb to my right and my left shoulder was touching Megan to my left and she was shaking and I was shaking and I stopped for about 10 seconds to look around and it was just surreal because I had to pull out of 2017 celebration at the last second, which broke my heart. And I know we joke about it now, it's been so long and now I have a celebration under my belt, but at the time it was just crushing and I knew what I was missing out on and I didn't this time around and I was with everyone and the lightsabers going up and the tears just streaming down everyone's face. It was everything that I had hoped for and more. So it was the community and the trailer itself. And then, you know, Ian coming out and just roll it again.
Oh,
and it was just like, is this real life? That's what I kept. I just wanted someone to punch me in the face because it didn't feel real.
Oh, wow.
Like, just,
here we go.
Like, listen, that's going to be our next patron level. You get to punch Eve in the face.
Yeah. I will punch you back.
Oh, goodness.
You know, it's interesting because I, you know, what's funny is I totally forgot about Ian McDiarmid coming out. Just hearing that laugh at the end of the trailer.
Yeah.
I literally dropped, I don't know how many F-bombs, as did the, all the people that's sitting around next to me in the VIP Jedi's section. But yeah, like when I heard that, I'm just like, what in the world is happening? And then, yeah, he comes out and just waited for the audience to die down and just his timing was amazing.
Did he mic drop too?
He did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see it. It looked like he was about to, but I didn't see it.
Oh, it was just amazing. Now, I don't know if I mentioned, but I was very close to where he was. Very close. I got a little sheep spittle on me. Eve, from your perspective, let me ask you this about the episode 9 part.
Yes.
And then particularly with like the trailers. Was it more sheer like exuberance or did you feel more like pain and sorrow because things are coming to a close?
Oh, it was just pure exuberance. I don't think I've reached the pain part of it all yet. Mm. I think I'm still riding the celebration high to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And the closer we get to December, because it's still far off, I think it'll begin to hit me more. I was just exhilarated completely. Yeah.
That's a good call. And it was so cool just to have, I think, that mutual shared experience with everyone that was at Celebration, where they were watching it like on the outside, the Star Wars show live in the exhibition hall. It's just interesting how they even showed the trailer like later during Celebration.
Yeah.
And the exhibition hall, which I don't know at any given time had thousands of people and everyone would just stop and watch and then just have this emotional chorus of cheers at the end. It's just, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. We're crazy. Oh my God. Speaking of crazy, these have been some amazing things and we haven't even talked about number one things yet.
Nope.
All right, let's go there.
Number one.
All right, Eve, you've got the hot potato, so let's keep it with you. What was your number one thing?
Okay, so I'm sorry ahead of time if I get emotional. It's kind of my thing, but the USW pod stage panel and just having the chance to be with all of you guys. Because, and this was like, I could not stop crying, saying goodbye to all of you. And there was even a moment on the plane where like 15 minutes into my very short flight home, and this older gentleman is sitting next to me, and I just burst into tears. He was like, no, he was like 70s.
He's like 45, I don't know.
Stop! He was like 70s, maybe even pushing 80. And I just burst into tears. Like, and he just kind of snapped over and looked at me. And I was just like, no, I'm going to ignore this. I'm just going to look out the window. And it was because, and I've shared this with Barb a lot in the days that have since passed after Celebration, but I am so far away from all of you and never have the chance to have this face-to-face interaction, never have the chance to podcast together and see your faces. So it just, that's what, Celebration was wonderful. The content is absolutely amazing, but you guys, all of you mean more by a landslide.
Wow. That's deep. It's going to be hard to beat that. Barb's about ready to cry here in the studio right now.
We'll give her a moment.
Yeah, we'll give her a moment.
I'm sorry.
Regina, how about you?
Well, okay. So I wake up that Sunday. I did not get into the Mandalorian panel. Was very, very sad about that. But I decided to hang around the Star Wars show live stage essentially all day. We got in there at 10.
Yes.
I did not leave until around 3. It was very nice of Eve and Barb and Megan to come visit me and hang out with me while I was there.
Bring you water and snacks, yes.
Because I did not know for certain that the cast of The Mandalorian would show up, but I figured if the cast of Episode 9 would be there, the cast of The Mandalorian would be there. And they were. I eventually, so as the day progresses, I make my way up to the front of the stage. So I have a perfect view. I'm like shaking thinking about this. I have like the perfect view, the perfect angle. Cam, the hype guy, is just like 2:30s looking real good. I'm texting Barb and Eve like he said 2:30. I think that's when it's happening. I'm like making friends with the people next to me. And then 2:30 rolls around and Cam comes out and he goes, the cast of The Mandalorian's backstage. And I'm like shaking because Pedro Pascal is about to be right in front of me. And I loved him in Game of Thrones and I loved him in the Kingsman movies. And then those doors open and they walk out and I'm a ghost. I am deceased. I no longer exist. So I'm sitting there like recording with my phone while also like trying to be in the moment, freaking out. And they do their interview and they're looking every which way and I'm recording. And then I like put my phone down to enjoy the moment and I make eye contact. And he smiles at me. I know I have this big like goofy grin on my face and he smiles at me and I'm like, I imagine that. The panel continues. Barb texts me. She goes, I'm right behind you. I turn around. I see her. I wave. The panel ends. I go see her. She goes, he smiled at you. And I was like, I thought I imagined it. No, he did not. And then she goes, yeah, I have proof. I recorded it. Whatever was left of my soul leaves my body because Barb, God bless you. And so I'm like shaking. I've been standing forever. I have not eaten properly. I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad. I told you I would. I have not eaten properly. We go to sit down. She shows me the video. And I just cannot process, still cannot process, highlight of my entire life. Forget graduating college. Pedro Pascal looked at me and smiled at me.
Oh, my God. Well, that's going to wrap it for this episode. Yeah. 'Cause we can't do that. Oh, my gosh.
No one smiled at me, man.
That is incredible. And the way that you described that was just, like, beyond perfect. And so I'm guessing you have that on, like, slow-mo loop at this point.
Yeah, watch it. Watch it every time I wake up. In fact, it's every hour. Every 30 minutes, actually. I just watched the video. Got a photo of him framed in my house. It's so nice. Laura, who's a mutual of mine on Twitter, I tweeted out. I was like, should I buy the exclusive poster off of eBay? And she messages me and she goes, I'll send it to you for the cost of shipping. So I have a poster coming too. It's just, it's everything.
That's glorious. That is a friend. That is a friend. Mm-hmm. Nice. Nice. Oh my goodness. Barb, how about you? What's your number one?
Oh, that was good. My number one, it's been shared already, which is the episode 9 panel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to try and touch on things that haven't been touched on. You know, one of the cool things is the entire podcast, our podcast that was there, minus Devin, who, as he said,
I don't know if I mentioned it, but I was with the Jedi and the VIPs. Yeah.
Yes. And he would continually text us pictures of him in those VIP seats while we're sitting in the overflow. But we were all sitting together. You know, I had... On my right, I had Carl and Jeremy, and on my left was Eve and Megan. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
And then right behind us was Jason and Bex, and then we managed to track down...
Jake.
Yes.
From State Farm?
Yes.
But he came and sat with us, too, and so that was cool. He had a lightsaber and everything, and just the whole experience, because we're in there 2 hours before it starts.
Yeah.
And that was nice just to have this experience of seeing all these people dressed up and, you know, the hosts would come out and bring people up.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Just getting that whole experience.
Yeah.
It wasn't like sitting impatiently waiting for a movie to start.
Yeah.
It actually was entertaining and exciting. And to be able to share that with everybody there was amazing.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah, when Steve Colbert came out, that I love Steve Colbert. So that,
which by the way, I've been corrected. He is not a Canadian, so
that's
I can
why.
Continue to watch his show.
That's why I was confused when you said that.
Yes.
I was like, really? But my husband and I love Steve Colbert, so that was like icing on the cake. I'm texting him like, Steve Colbert is here. He's hosting it, and then during the panel, he's asking them questions. At one point, he throws his binder on the floor because they're not answering any of his questions. And he said, he's like, I am their agent, not your agent. And I was like, yes, he's so the best. But that whole, the whole question period was great. But then the trailer. And I mean, we've all said things about this trailer. And it was funny for me because I never watched any trailer for The Last Jedi. Mm. And I wasn't going to do that this time because I'm obviously in the episode 9 panel and sharing that with everybody. And it was just everything about it was surreal. Mm. And right after, and most of the people listening should have seen the trailer, so I'm not going to spoil the trailer, but right after Rey jumps over the TIE, Leia's music comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Leia hugging Rey. Mm. And it's just, it hit this emotional key beyond just episode 9. Because Leia's in it.
Yeah.
You know, Carrie Fisher is in the movie.
Right.
And mm-hmm. her music is there. And just, there, music in and of itself brings up so much emotion mm-hmm. and feeling. And it just, that really touched me on such a deeper level to see her in the trailer. And then the way they end the trailer, it was just so like, what on earth? Because Luke is like, no one is ever really gone. And then you hear the Emperor laugh. And then you see the title and it's like, what? And then they end that with Ian McDiarmid coming out saying, roll it again. And I don't know if you knew this, but in the overflow in the galaxy stage where
we
were.
Yeah, I wouldn't because I was sitting with the Jedi.
I know. That's why I'm sharing what we got that was special since we couldn't sit in the Jedi.
More than sheep spittle, I doubt it, but go ahead.
Well, he rolled it again, and then when it was done, they rolled it again for us. Nice. So we got to see it 3 times in a row in the galaxy stage, and it just that entire experience. It was nice being on the Friday. It just felt like this is celebration.
Yeah,
you know, getting there Wednesday night and hanging with my friends and just having a great time, and then Thursday kind of getting the lay of the land and the map.
Yeah,
Friday episode 9. This is celebration. Mm. It was just great.
Yeah. A great description of everything. Jeremy, for you, what's number one?
Well, it's the Mandalorian panel. You kindly gave me your lottery.
I was done. Took an introvert and put him in the middle of 70,000 people, and I was done by the time Sunday morning got here.
I understand,
here.
But, like, thank you, Devin. Oh, so I got to go. Joined the panel and just sit there in the celebration stage arena and just partake that. And what's interesting about the Mandalorian is it was at that moment. So it's my highlight. The panel was my highlight. What they talked about, the content of what the show will be, but I'm so like introspective. So while that's going on, I have this whole other dialogue going on in my mind where I'm like, you know, I'm really starting to feel this like restoration towards Star Wars. Mm. Some of you know, and some of you don't know, I completely burned out on working in Star Wars and thinking about it and podcasting and writing. And at one point I was editing podcasts and writing articles and I've just burned out. And I was just like, I would occasionally interact with Star Wars because I was just so empty.
Yeah.
And one of the things Celebration did for me, and I would imagine it did for a lot of people, including cast members like Kelly Marie Tran and Ahmed Best, is that when you're around people that are expressing love for the content, you know, but also for one another, it's very restorative. Mm. And if anything, I was noticing while I was watching this panel take place, I was like, wow, I'm really feeling like this restoration. Like, and it had been going on a little bit beforehand.
Yeah.
For, you know, getting involved in YouTube and doing that stuff. But that, it kind of solidified a lot of stuff. So it was really this amazing kind of personal experience going on. But also, I cannot wait for The Mandalorian.
Mm.
And I can't wait to see what story they're going to tell. I think the talent assembled... including I think the talent is extraordinary.
Yeah.
I think their love for the product that they're making is like just palpable. I mean, it's there. And it seems like we're about to go on a very, very special ride. And I think fans are sensing it.
Mm.
I think there is definitely like, oh my goodness, this is going into some territory I think a lot of fans really wanted.
Mm.
And one of the neat things about Star Wars that I think we're all experiencing is we're at a point with what Disney is doing with the property that you can find something in your sort of, you know, your genre or your, you know, the type of stuff that you like, whether it's animation, whether it's film, whether it's comic books or novels, you know, there are areas in Star Wars that you can go and grab hold of. Mm. And for me, what they're presenting through The Mandalorian is the type of Star Wars I love and adore. Mm. Mm-hmm. And so I am beyond thrilled. Of all of the things announced and given to us as fans, The Mandalorian is ahead of Episode 9 for me. I'm more excited for The Mandalorian than I am 9. And
welcome.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really amazing what they're doing. And the panel is up, but they showed a scene from The Mandalorian that hooked me. And then they showed a sizzle reel twice. The sizzle reel was about 2.5 minutes, maybe. Mm-hmm. And you can find bootleg versions of it on YouTube, but it just doesn't do it justice.
Sure.
And this is a not finished product that they were showing. Mm-hmm. So, like, there were effect shots not done. And, like, I mean, there's still a lot of work to be done. Yeah. And it looked amazing at this point.
Yeah.
So I am just thrilled. I thought it was a wonderful panel. It was done a little bit differently. You didn't have like actual hosts, you know, up on stage. It was Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni were hosting it.
Yeah.
And I have heard some people not like that. I loved it. Mm. I thought it was funny and engaging and they knew what they wanted to talk about and they talked about it.
Right.
And some of the stuff they're doing with effects and story and the actors involved and the talent assembled is just, it feels like something special is about to happen.
Well, you actually texted me at some point during that and in all caps, which I understand as the kids would tell me means that you're shouting.
Yes.
that, dude, this is our all caps Star Wars. Yeah. It's back. And I think that was like, that was my hope.
Yes.
As this was originally announced that we were going to get something pretty special and we were going to get something that really, I know that we've never been able to actually quantify what is Star Wars, but to have that Star Wars feel to it.
Yeah, I think, you know, not to, you know, beat this drum for a long time here too loudly, but it really, there are so many amazing things with Star Wars being made right now.
Yeah.
I thought Rebels was delightful. Mm-hmm. Of all the new stories being told under Disney, the Rebels storyline has been my favorite.
Yeah.
But that's animation. That is for a younger audience. The Mandalorian feels like it's being made for everyone, but at the same time, it's going to satisfy something for me as a fan.
Sure.
And that's really exciting to me.
Yeah.
And I was really thrilled with that. And I cannot wait for November to roll around.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be really special, I think.
And so, if I can, you actually mentioned, I don't recall if it was Jon Favreau or Dave Filoni who actually said, as they're interviewing directors and stuff, there was actually a key question they asked everybody that was an eligible director. What was that?
Yeah, it was like, you have to be a fan.
Yeah.
And you have to love this stuff. And everyone on board loves it. And it's apparent. And there, you can watch the panel online. And one of the things that was really hilarious was, they were looking at some of the stuff they did on the original trilogy in terms of modeling and camera work. Mm-hmm. And John Knoll literally went into his garage and started building in his garage some of the equipment that was once used a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
And it was funny that as they were talking about the meetings that were taking place, more and more people at ILM were showing up into these video conferencing meetings because they were making the Mandalorian down in Southern California, but of course people are up, you know, in the Bay Area,
right,
like working on special effects and stuff like that. And in these video meetings, more and more people started showing up every day because there's just this passion being generated. And it is for all of Star Wars, but it's neat to hear these stories.
Yeah.
It just really, I think Jon Favreau is a real visionary in terms of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
What he's done in Disney on The Lion King that we'll be seeing soon, but also The Jungle Book is pretty astounding.
Yeah.
And so I can't wait. Can't wait to see. So
great pick. I think my number one is a bit, it's like a 2-year journey almost.
Yeah.
I had the good fortune of sitting down with John Jackson Miller. I had the good fortune of sitting down with Jason Fry. Jeremy, you talked to Kevin Scott while I was getting him coffee.
Yes. Thank you for that.
But my pleasure. But the crescendo for me was the 2-year hunt of finally getting to sit down across the table from Delilah Dawson and talk Phasma.
Yes.
And I mean, that was fabulous to begin with, but for me, it was the fact that that had been 2 years in the making when so many other authors, not that she had any control over anything because they all go through an agent, but the ability to sit down after 2 years and what it took to actually get that meeting made
it was a victory, man.
It was a total victory, and I'm using that not only for this podcast and myself, but I think it's really a great, in my opinion, illustration of, like, in life sometimes you just have to persist and persist and persist and sometimes there's payoff with that. And so It was personally satisfying, and she is, Eve, you were there. I mean, she is such a delight to sit down with, and she's such a hoot. And what's so great is, I say this in the most kind, affectionate, respectful way, like, she's a bit goofy. And I mean, just some of her answers, like, they just, like, made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
And at one point she started talking about, and we're going to post the entire interview for you guys, but she started talking about, you know, the difference between writers of fanfic and professional authors, and how professional authors, like, are willingly getting critical feedback and stuff. And so in my mind, when I ask the question, what do you see as the difference between fanfic authors and professional authors, I'm thinking from, like, a level of writing. And she goes, well, a paycheck, of course. I'm just like, well, yes, of course, there's the paycheck. But she's very quick-witted. Fantastic interview. Had such a great time. Eve was great because she was not only my wingwoman, excuse me, during the interview, but she also snapped some great kind of candid photos during the interview process and stuff, which are going to go up on the studio wall. And then kind of to top it all off, I told Delilah Dawson the story of my daughter Ainsley when she was 5 wanting to dress up as Captain Phasma for Halloween. Simply because Phasma tells the boys what to do. And so she literally, I bought this, like, glorious print of Phasma, and Delilah Dawson signed it, you know, that's dear awesome. Dear Ainsley, continue to keep the boys in line, love Delilah Dawson. I'm just like, how perfect is that? The only question will be is actually if I let my daughter have it in her room or stays in the studio. But nonetheless, that was my highlight. Here's what's crazy. There's so many other things we could talk about as far as the highlights. So many things that we didn't even come close to touching on. Jeremy, you brought up just the crowd reaction to Kelly Marie Tran and Ahmaud Best. I mean, Kelly Marie Tran was in tears on stage during the Episode 9 panel, and again on the Star Wars Show live panel in the exhibition hall. And
it's awesome.
How cool is that? I think that above all these things, there's one theme, and I think that it's a theme of Star Wars, and that is, I think there was a little bit of fandom redemption.
Healing.
Yeah.
I really think that. Yeah. I don't know if you guys feel like that, but absolutely. Like, it was weird how people seem to be coming together, and it's like realizing that maybe those negative voices were a much, much bigger minority than you realize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or they're complete cowards and didn't say anything.
Yeah, or both.
Right? You know, absolutely. Probably are both, right? And so I just really felt it was just this incredibly healing thing. Like, hearing Ahmaud Best talk about how special it was for him.
Yeah.
That's worth it alone.
Yeah.
Like, for someone that dealt with suicide and like, you know, like, because of what happened after the Phantom Menace, like, that's good that there's this kind of redemptive arc.
Absolutely.
That kind of concluded with Celebration. Absolutely. And so I found it, like, incredibly healing for a lot of people.
Yeah, I really hope we can kind of continue with that as we look forward to, you know, what's coming out.
Absolutely.
Star Wars-wise, and the next Celebration, which apparently right around the corner.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, stick around, Tauntauns. We got some fun stuff to talk about right after this.
We're not done yet.
All right, Eve. What is going on in the galaxy this week?
Well, pretty brief, but always have to mention Prequels in a Pint, which is the series that you and Jeremy have undertaken a few weeks ago now. Months? Weeks? It's been a while now, but it is still ongoing over on our YouTube channel, and you can just go to youtube.com and search Unmistakably Star Wars and catch up on most of the episodes. There are a few that are limited to our Patreon, and if you would like to find out more about that, just go to unmistakablystarwars.com/Patreon and sign up to get the exclusives. You won't regret it. And I Next thing, can't talk too much about it, but it's a new, pretty heavy, but ultimately uplifting series that the entire, well, most of the Unmistakably Star Wars team will be bringing to all of your channels shortly. So be sure to kind of tune in to us, the YouTube channel, the Twitter, the Instagram, all of our social media presence. We are going to bring something pretty wonderful shortly, so don't miss out on that. As always, we love hearing from you guys, and especially if you are at Celebration, let us know if you had the chance to stop by and talk with us. And you can do that by sending us an email at unmistakablystarwars@gmail.com or calling us at 929-525-1977.
Awesome. Yeah, so this new YouTube thing that we haven't yet unveiled, it might be the most interactive thing we've done with our listeners.
Yeah, by far.
So if you're not already subscribing to YouTube, you need to do that, because some of it will carry over to the podcast stuff, but it's going to be more or less exclusively YouTube, and it's also going to kind of go hand in hand with some extra special stuff we're doing for patrons as well. That's all we can say now, which... I'm kind of excited. I want to say more, but I'm not going to right now. Speaking of our patrons, we couldn't do it without you. And as I said before, it was so great meeting so many of you in person. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brandon Boylan, Jim Capron, who, by the way, had an incredible Jyn Erso outfit at Celebration. Mm-hmm. Derek DuVernay, Dave Hackerson, Michelle Grandine, Matthew Keegan, Chris Letty, Steve Long, Neil Lowry, Mario Piper, Kyle Russell, Regina Sanders, Regina Sanders, let me tell you about that girl. this entire time she's been quiet just watching that video on loop from the... Regina Sanders, Connie Shee, Aaron Sinner, Krista Smolinski, Franklin Taylor, Rick Villanueva, Mike Award, and the very fabulous Amy Wishman. Thank you, each and every one of you patrons, for your generosity each and every month. It means a world to us, and of course, that allows us to continue to dabble in other areas of programming that we can bring you, as well as our greater listener base. So thank you. That is going to conclude part one of our Star Wars Celebration Chicago recap. The second part of our talk is right around the corner, and we're going to talk about what some of the questions we were left with following Celebration Chicago. Hey, lastly, we want to thank our sponsor, Total Custom Patches, the official patch and sticker provider for Unmistakably Star Wars. Total Custom Patches, total solutions for all your patch needs. Learn more at TotalCustomPatches.com. That's going to do it for this episode, however. We'll see you next time in the digital docking bay. And until then, may the Force be with you.
Unmistakably Star Wars is a member of the Star Wars Escape Pods Network. Explore more great content and get to know our sister shows at WeAreEscapePods.com and on Twitter at WeAreEscapePods. The Star Wars Escape Pods Network, promoting positivity in fandom.